Thanks for tuning in to the Life in the Front Office podcast presented by Suja Organic, where we inspire, educate, and provide advice and insights around those who are in the sports business and entertainment industry. Please follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram at Life in the Front Office. And don't forget to follow and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Lastly, get your 15% off Suja at sujaorganic.com with the code LIFO, L-I-F-O. And enjoy today's episode. Welcome to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office podcast presented by Suja Organic. Excited for our episode today on the Clubhouse Series Industry Insights with Sam Apple from the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into her journey, her background, experience, and now within the stadium and fan experience realm. Sam, welcome. Excited for the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So if you think about your journey starting out in minor league baseball and then kind of how you got to the NFL, what's the biggest, you know, thing if you think looking back to starting out in minor league baseball that you would have, you know, said, hey, like, I think as far as getting to the NFL, this really, you know, helped me along the way.
Yeah, I think the, you know, the cool thing about minor league sports is it's, there's small staffs, right? So you kind of do everything, get to dip your toes into everything, learn, you know, a lot about what each department, and I say that like quote unquote off only because I feel like there's so many and they mean different things at different teams, but really just you kind of learn everything. And so I felt like that helped me to kind of learn different verticals. And then now in the position that I'm in, I can really like apply the knowledge I've had working in different spaces, ticket sales, marketing, you know, entertainment. And I can use it in my role now to kind of like make one educated decisions, but I can really also see things from other lenses. So I think that's been like kind of a nice surprise that I've realized later on.
As you think about, you know, your experience getting to be assistant GM at the Asheville Tourists and, you know, working across all these different departments, you're learning what you like to do, what you don't like to do. What's something you learned, like, as you kind of figured out, hey, this is kind of the area that fits me the most?
Yeah. I think that when I was younger, it was really fun to do everything and have a hand in everything and like feel very involved. And that worked for kind of that season of my life. But once I started to get a little bit more into the business and, you know, I started to want to be really great at one thing, not one thing, but like, I wanted to kind of sink my teeth into something. And the fan experience, like, I mean, when you strip it down, right, when you just have a stadium, the nuts and bolts of the stadium, like, what is that fan experience? If there's the speakers are off that day, if the scoreboard doesn't work, if the Jumbotron doesn't work, like what is your fan experience if you have to be bare minimum? And I like, that's what I really sink my teeth in, or that's what kind of like gets me excited, light bulb flicks on, is like, okay, the cleanliness of the bathrooms, your experience getting to a stadium, going through security, you know, your ease of access through ticket scanning. You walk in, your head's on a swivel, you've never been somewhere before, you don't know where you're going. Is there someone there that can help you? And do they take the initiative to come up to you, or did they let you be lost? You know, they seem like kind of little blips on your journey of being a fan or being a guest at a venue, but they're not. They're things you remember, right? Like when you go to a restaurant, if the bathroom is trash, right, there's toilet paper all over, you remember those things, you know, and it bears a reflection on the rest of the establishment, whether, you know, it was their fault or the person before you just kind of went crazy and started pulling all the toilet paper out, right? So that's kind of what started to really light me up. And I think a lot of that was being in minor league baseball where, you know, one day our scoreboard got struck by lightning and it didn't work, and neither did the video board. One day the speakers were out, you know, like kind of having to grin and bear it and go back to the basics was really exciting.
Your scoreboard getting struck by lightning probably answers my question of like, what's the oddest thing you've experienced in minor league baseball? Everyone pulls tarp, everyone, you know, they do that, this and that, but then yeah. There's like, or they were in the mascot uniform. But then seriously, like light scoreboard being struck by lightning, the odds of that. On opening day too.
Right. In 2021. So we didn't have a 2020 season. There was no minor league baseball season. This was our very first game in, you know, I don't know, two years.
talk about the odds, right? That's insane.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You kind of pointed out, like, ultimately, if people go to enough games or things, like, or even like 5 years later, if they've said, you know, trying to remember like an experience they went to, they're not going to necessarily remember who won or what the score was, right? But to your point, they're going to remember those little things along the way. It was that hot dog they got, or whatever the case might be. And as you think about the driveway to driveway experience and how that's changed over the years, how are you constantly kind of staying on top of what's the new thing that you might need to have, you know, from a technology perspective at, you know, at your venue? Again, you're only seeing people 8-9 times a year. And for the most part, you may have to make an impression on somebody coming from another city to see their team, or, hey, they only get to go to one Titans game a year, so you got to make a good impression on them. And maybe they've never been there before, to your point. How do you make sure that all the pieces work and that you're staying on top of the technology aspect to make sure that that creates efficiencies as well?
Yeah, I can answer your question in like 5 different parts.
But... Oh, I'm sure. We could talk about it now for an hour. But
So, I mean, well, first and foremost, so I am a Titans employee, but I don't think we got the opportunity to discuss this. We do operate Nissan Stadium 12 months a year. So we do all of our major events that are non-Titans. So concerts, Supercross, WWE, you know.
Very important detail to understand there. There's a lot more events that go on at a stadium like that than just the Titans.
There are, yeah. And so there's kind of like a lot of intricacies that go into that. And, you know, you're... Billy Joel crowd is very different than your Titans crowd, which is very different from your Taylor Swift crowd, which is very different from Morgan Wallen. So like, you know, you are kind of always, I would say the big key factor is listening, you know, like listening to what people want, listening to what people need, listening to their complaints, anything that comes through, you know, the fan hotline, or we're always tracking like the emails we're getting in advance of events, just to kind of, again, have a pulse, a finger on the pulse of like what the hot topic is, or what where we're lacking, or where we're doing great. So I think the overarching theme, like I said, is just listening. I mean, technology pops up left and right faster than any of us can really keep up with it. But I think it's important to have a team of the right people in place that are good at kind of digging through all the noise to find what makes sense for our building. I think there are some, you know, products that are probably pretty universal, right? Like they, like we have a, like lactation pods for nursing mothers or mothers that need to, you know, give their child a bottle, whatever that may be. You know, that's universal, right? Like everybody needs one of those. But we also have a really unique building. It's outdoors, but we get a winter. You know, so there's some things that don't make sense for us. Or like, I mean, we have 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 gates. That's a lot of gates, right? So how do we kind of scale every single gate with the newest, latest, greatest technology?
You can't have some gates that have some technology and not have others that don't, right? Like you've got to make it all consistent.
Yeah, like it's tough. And you have, you know, there right now we do have a piece of technology that's actually only at our clubs at the moment. So at least we can maintain the consistency of like, okay, club and suite members, you know, they're the ones using this technology on a regular basis. But if they do go to another gate, that's not an offering there. So, you know, what's the risk or reward there? What are we going to hear later? And does this really move the needle for us? So I think, in short, having the right people in place that can cut through all the noise to figure out what we really need, what makes sense short term, long term, and going into a new building.
Yeah. And then I think as you know, you think about the driveway to driveway experience, right? Of surveys to what do you need to know before you go, right? And like all of these different things that hopefully again, not everybody reads everything or listens everything or any of that, but you're like, okay, I'll take my chances and try and get out to the masses of who's coming to this event. What are the thing? What are the questions I can try and, you know, curb the most, right, in terms of answers? And, you know, I feel like the clear bag thing is still, you know, even though we're years into that, right, it's still a question from people who maybe don't visit a venue until, you know, every 3 years or whatever the case might be. How do you work with other departments to make sure that, again, you're getting the right data, you're trying to get the right communications out to make sure that, again, fans are having that good experience, and there's a lot of different touch points than other than just when they arrive on site?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's a big ecosystem, right? Like, there's a lot of departments handling various things, some Titans, some non-Titans, some both. So I think I just talked about having the right people in place, and I do kind of lean back on that a little bit. You know, do we have the people that, you know, do we have silos, or do we have the people that can reach across the aisle? I mean, those things matter, but really at the end of the day, it's a constant evaluation, you know, not just listening to our fans, but listening to other departments. Well, what are you guys hearing? What's coming through? And we have a really great survey system that our business analytics team, our business intelligence team puts out after every major event. And it is incredible, like, the amount of feedback that we get. And it's so interesting what people won't tell us while they're there, but will tell us after the fact. And that's a struggle sometimes, because I would love to fix things in person if I could, you know, but that's another story. And so I think it really is like this goal to be better across the board. And that comes from the top down. I mean, a hill I'd love to die on is that we're the most accessible stadium in this country, and getting that buy-in across the board, wanting to be the best. Like, we continue to chip away at that because there is that kind of like universal buy-in. And going back to your question, I think that has to extend throughout the year and throughout, you know, department to department, to really work and get better and grow.
As you think about, you know, the route that you took through minor league baseball, getting a bunch of different experiences, now being in that fan experience, stadium experience realm, for someone who's starting out, you know, trying to get into the industry, or maybe they're in a different department right now and they're entry level and they're thinking about switching over, what are some of the career options that exist? And like, where would you look? What kind of titles are there to pay attention to, right? To understand like what kind of jobs are out there in this space?
Yeah. So, you know, what we call stadium experience at Nissan Stadium is kind of a couple different wings. There's kind of your traditional guest services, amenities and accommodations, accessibility. There's, you know, your team member experience, right? So, you know, that's what I would look for: guest services, heavy roles, team member experience roles. It's kind of got like a little HR twang to it, but not quite HR, but you know, you're dealing with a massive amount of people. So those, you know, different HR conversations do come up, or, you know, you're hiring, training, onboarding, roles that involve those, you know, types of skills. Like, that's probably where, what would sum up kind of what our department is right now, but it's still in its infancy. I mean, we're a department of 2.5 years. So it didn't always look like this, and it looks different everywhere, but I think that's kind of a good place to leave people.
What you mentioned 2.5 years, like what have you learned from your other peers across other teams, leagues, as far as like how it's developing in our industry as a whole, and, you know, where it's going, especially as you mentioned, right, the non-game day events, right? Like, mm-hmm. That's a big thing as well.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I see every year, like, I was just on a call yesterday where people are doing things that, you know, we're also thinking, I think kind of like everybody's mindset towards a fan experience has really changed. Again, I just don't think people used to care about what the bathrooms look like. If they started the games and there was toilet paper in every toilet paper holder and there was soap and all the dispensers, that was good enough, right? Our standard is so much higher now. And I think that that standard is kind of leveling out across the board. And maybe some teams are ahead of others and some are a little bit further behind. And I say teams, leagues, various organizations, various venues. So I think it's just kind of like this overall evolution of the stadium experience, the guest experience, and then, you know, ultimately the team member experience, because if you take care of your people, they're going to take care of your people that are buying tickets.
As we start to wrap up, I want to get to a part where, you know, as you think about, again, how the fans evolving, right? Like the consumer themselves are evolving in terms of their expectations, what they're, you know, if they're spending more money, then what's, to your point, like, right? Like what's the experience they're having? How do you make sure that there are more experiences around the stadium within the confines that you have to work with, right? Like you're not, yes, you may renovate a space here and there, but you're not getting a new state. You know, you're working with what you've got. How do you create new experiences within the landscape that you're working with?
I think it takes a lot of creativity, but I also, sometimes I feel like less is more. You know, this might be something that doesn't seem crazy. It doesn't seem barn burning, but we really take a focus on empowering our staff members to make someone's day. And that there's no square footage required for that, right? Like there's not a ton of money that's required for that. It's kind of an easy thing to do ultimately. You know, some people do like first game pins or birthday pins or whatever that might be. We try and take it a step further. You know, you're working a space and you watch a mom and her kid go up and buy a popcorn. The kid turns around, takes two steps, drops the entire bowl of popcorn on the ground. That's not our fault. We didn't do anything wrong, right? But it doesn't cost us very much money to replace that popcorn. And we really encourage our staff to kind of like take those moments and turn them into a positive. Even if you don't feel like you have the resource right there in your hand, stop, take a second, think, call somebody. And like, how do we completely turn around that fans experience? And so building fans young, that would be a good experience or a good example of that as well. But, you know, it really, I think, goes back to creativity, and sometimes less is more. And sometimes also working with what you got, because we're about to break ground on a new stadium in a week. And, you know, that stadium is right next door. It takes out a lot of parking. That doesn't usually impact people's experiences positively. So what can we do to take that and spin it? So it's a lot of throwing things at the wall and seeing if they stick.
Well, at least you've got a lot of data to work with as you do break ground on a new stadium and you think about all the things that you have to design and the work that goes into that to make sure that when that first event does happen there and people go through the gates, maybe not 14 gates, who knows, we'll see. But you know, how do you make that experience that much better and keep those expectations high? Last thing for you before we get to rapid fire, as you think about the, you know, ultimate evolution of the experience as a whole, and whether it's families, whether you're going to the game, and it's to your point of getting the fan young, or you've got people traveling in, how do you deal with so many different types of people and where they're coming from, right? Like you might have a way to adapt to your season ticket holders, to your club, you know, club suite holders, to then again, that one person that's traveling in for that one event. How do you make sure that everything caters to as many people as possible?
That's a wonderful question.
It's probably the $1 million question, but
it is the $1 million question, but I think that there's like light to be shed. I don't think I have it all the answers by any means, but I mean, listen, I tell our staff all the time, we cannot please 70,000 people at the same time in one place. The odds are just so against us that it's not
possible. Like lightning hitting a scoreboard.
Hitting a scoreboard. But what we can do is we can make educated decisions on what we have in front of us. And then we treat everything else as an everyone else, as an individual. We treat everything, you know, unique. And we, you know, when we have to adapt or, you know, let's just say deal with a complaint or deal with a situation in which we did not cater, you know, to someone's specific need. We treat them as humans and we do the best that we can. We can't make everything. I can't make everything possible. We can't make everything possible, but we can certainly try to kind of come to the table on various things. So you're right. It is the $1 million question, but well, you know, that's what we can do.
As one of our co-hosts, Pat Gallagher, says, it's the fun business, right? And you're in the people business, and ultimately people like to just deal with people that they like. So if you're nice to them, chances are you'll be okay. It's not rocket science, right? I think that's the, you said it earlier, less is more sometimes, right? But it's not rocket science, and just treating people with a smile and a welcome, and you know, that might be enough for some people. And
sometimes it is.
You know, and making sure that, to your point about what kind of careers exist and the training and all of that, like how do you make sure that someone who has no affinity to the team, but they're coming to work on a game day, wants to give that experience, wants to be there, wants to do that. So it's not an easy job, but definitely one that's rewarding, I'm sure, as you see plenty of young smiles around, you know, having those experiences and memories as they grow up. All right, rapid fire. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. If there's one stadium arena you haven't been to that you want to get to see, what is it?
I would love to go to Lambeau. I haven't been there yet. Ooh. I like history, so I think I'd throw Lambeau out there.
Okay. If there's one event that you haven't been to or a style of event that you want to go to, what is it?
I want to go to WrestleMania.
Oh, interesting. Okay. How come? What's the...
I think it is such an incredible corner of the business. It's just very interesting to me.
Different. Yeah. Unique experience. Okay. If you're going up to your concession stand, what item are you getting?
Salted pretzel 9 times out of 10.
It's a good go-to. Okay. Yeah. Last one.
Side of cheese.
What's that? Side of cheese.
Side of cheese.
There you go. digital ticket or physical ticket?
Oh gosh. I feel like I might get in trouble for this answer. No, I mean, I love a physical ticket. I'm not going to lie. Everybody can hold their own ticket. Sometimes that does make things easier, but, you know,
we're in this digital world, but I get it. It's all good. It's all good. Sam, really appreciate all the insights, advice, sharing your journey, your story, and a bunch about the fan experience and journey as well. Welcome on anytime, and appreciate it again. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to today's episode. And I just want to give a quick shout out to ScreenSkins, our presenting sponsor of the Teamwork Online webinar series, the number one branded screen protector that allows you to personalize your screen protector for custom or officially licensed designs that disappear. Get yours today by visiting screenskins.com and use the code LIFO24 at checkout for 20% off today. LIFO24 at screenskins.com at checkout for 20% off. Thanks, everyone.